Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 71, The Real Jesus of the Gospels. Don Coulterman, Pastor Karen Coulterman, Cheryl Jackson, Enoch Paul, Sarah Velasquez, and Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this final message of the series on April 21st, 2019.
I have a special kind of message. Actually, it's a kind of a culmination of the series we've been doing, The Real Jesus of the Gospels. So this morning, I've asked those who have been sharing over the weeks with us, week by week, different aspects of the life of Jesus and his character, his characteristics, his reality. Been sharing with you week by week, each Sunday, a different aspect of that. And today, I've asked that same group to speak, only each of them 5 to 7 minutes apiece. Now, I don't know if they can keep the time very well, but they might go over their 7 minutes, some of them. But anyway, we're gonna attempt to do it in 7 minutes apiece or 5 minutes apiece or whatever. Pastor Karen will go really short. She just like nails it, and then we're out of it. But anyway, it's going to be great. It's just something a little different, a way to celebrate the life of Jesus and his resurrection by speaking from your heart. So I've just asked them, just talk from your heart. It may or may not be related to something they shared and maybe didn't finish with the message that they gave when they had their chance a week or so ago. Or it may be something entirely different, something that just relates to the resurrection of Jesus. So that's our endeavor this morning. I'm going to pray over us as a group as we share. And then my brother Don is going to come, and he's the first one to share. And then they're just going to come up, and one after another, they're going to share, and it's going to be a composite message. So those of you who are listening on the podcast, this is a little different. We don't do it this way every Sunday, but I hope you enjoy. I hope that you're blessed. And if there's anything that we can pray for you about, there's a way on the website that you can contact us for prayer requests and so forth and so on. And if you want to give and sow into this ministry, there's an opportunity for you to do that by hitting the donate button. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this group of leaders, teachers, and ministers. Lord, thank you for your word working mightily in them. Thank you that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal of the flesh, but they're mighty through you, God, to demolish strongholds. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Father, use the messages today to touch our hearts and to open us to the reality of Jesus, that he is the real Jesus of the gospel. He's alive forevermore, and that he's coming back soon. So for it, we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name, Father. And everybody said, Amen. Praise the Lord. So here's our first one, my brother Don.
You see, I received the message. I didn't bring my Bible along. Again, I would like to just begin with an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we do praise you for you are good and your mercy endures forever. And this morning again, Father, we ask that you would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may truly come to know you better. That you would open the eyes of our hearts and our understanding that we may be enlightened and come to know evermore your incomparably great power for us who believe. And for this we believe you, Father, so we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. And everyone said, as you are aware, our theme for the past several weeks has been the real Jesus of the Gospels. And through this period of time, I am reminded that he is also the real Jesus of the whole Bible. He is the Word. All Scripture was given by inspiration of God or is God-breathed and is profitable, and the passage goes on. You see, he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is Jesus. And as Jesus of the whole Bible, just some words or phrases or names of some of his writers are reflected in each of the books of the Bible and share something about the real Jesus. In Genesis, he was the seed of the woman. In Exodus, the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, our high priest. In Numbers, our cloud by day, our pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he was a prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, the captain of our salvation. In Judges, our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, our trusted prophet. In 1 and 2 Kings, in 1 and 2 Chronicles, our reigning king. In Ezra, our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, the rebuilder of the broken walls of our shattered lives. In Esther, our Mordecai. In Job, our ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, our shepherd who leads us beside still waters. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, his wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, our lover and bridegroom. In Isaiah, the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah and Lamentations, our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, the Lord of warning and hope. In Daniel, the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In Hosea, the eternal husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. In Amos, our burden bearer. In Obadiah, our Savior. In Jonah, we see the great foreign missionary. In Micah, the Lord of pardon and forgiveness. In Nahum, our avenger. In Habakkuk, the evangelist, forever pleading for revival. In Zephaniah, the Lord, mighty to save. In Haggai, the restorer of our lost heritage. In Zechariah, a fountain opened for the house of David to cleanse it from sin and impurity. In Malachi, the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, he is the Messiah. In Mark, the miracle worker. In Luke, the Son of Man. In John, the Son of God. In the Acts, he sent the Holy Spirit who works through men and women like you and me. In Romans, our justifier. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, our sanctifier. In Galatians, our redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, the armor of God. In Philippians, my God who shall supply all your needs. In Colossians, all the fullness of the deity living in bodily form. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, our soon coming king. In 1 and 2 Timothy, the mediator between God and man. In Titus, our faithful pastor. In Philemon, the friend to the downtrodden and the oppressed. In Hebrews, the blood of the eternal covenant. In James, the Lord who heals the sick. In 1 and 2 Peter, the chief shepherd who will soon appear. In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he is love. He is love. In Jude, the Lord coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. In Revelation, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God.
Praise God. Thank you. Are you done? I saw you wrapping it up and I thought, oh, maybe not.
Not to brush you.
I'm sorry. Well, Praise God. He is to us everything that we need him to be. Amen. And I really appreciated that going through the entire word. Every book, he is what we need him to be. And I love that Jesus is merciful. I respond to mercy. My own natural father was very merciful. It was my mother usually who had to discipline me because my dad couldn't bring himself to do that. One time I remember he did, and I really deserved it. But normally it was my mom, because otherwise I would have really been a spoiled brat as an only child, and praise God. Yes. So my message is on Jesus the Merciful. And again, the definition of mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is written who it is writ within one's power to punish or harm. And Jesus, it was within his power to punish us, but he never did because of his mercy for us. I chose Psalm 103 to read, and I want to start just with verse 1. And I transferred the word mercy for love, because in the King James Version, the word mercy is there, but in the New King James Version, they've changed it to love. And I wanted to use the word mercy. So I'm reading the New King James Version, but using the Old King James Version for love. Ta-da! Oh. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. For as high as the heavens and above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that wonderful? As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's mercy is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. I want to go back to verse 6 there. It says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. And I know the last time I talked about Jesus the Merciful, I talked about the woman who was caught in the act of adultery and how Jesus' mercy just overwhelmed her situation. And today I'd like to talk about another woman in a similar circumstance. And once again, how Jesus showed her his mercy. And this is the woman of Samaria and at the well. And our brother Thomas just really touched on the most important part. But that would never have happened had Jesus not shown her his mercy. Had he given her what she deserved, or had he treated her the way other Jews treated the Samaritans. Because after all, the Samaritans were, to the Jews anyway, they were half-breeds. So they kind of looked down on them. They if they were walking down the road and the Samaritan was coming up the road, they'd cross over to the other side so they wouldn't have to have any contact with them. But Jesus didn't see it that way. He had mercy on her. She was a woman, and again, in that culture, that would be a lower position, and Jesus never looked at that either. He had mercy. So let me read this account from John chapter 4, 1 through 26. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came up to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." He didn't want her not to have eternal life. He didn't look at her circumstances. He didn't come against her and say, "Well, you've had five husbands and you're just living with the man now. You're not even married to him." He didn't use that tone at all with her. He gave her the truth, but he also gave her the way she could get out of the circumstance she was in, the way she could leave sin once and for all. And it's the same with us. We may have committed sins up to, you know, wherever. But the fact is, Jesus loves each one of us. He has mercy for each and every one of us. And he's giving us the truth. His word is the truth. His word is salvation to us when we receive it and live it. So I just want to encourage you today, Jesus the Merciful looks at each one of us and offers mercy to us. The result of that, we can see down in verse 39 of chapter 4, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. When the disciples came back to Jesus at the well, they kind of saw her, but they didn't really see her. And she went back to Sychar and told everyone, I just met the most amazing person, and told them the truth. And so on her advice, they all came out to see this Jesus. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. He is merciful. We're celebrating his resurrection today, but while he was still hanging on that cross, he looked out at the multitudes and he saw them through eyes of mercy. They had mocked him. They had scourged him. They had shouted, crucify him, crucify him. And yet he looked at them and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There are so many in the world today who know not what they do. Let's praise Jesus. Let's offer up to him our lives and go out into the world and show them Jesus' mercy. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's so good. God, Jesus is so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I am going to share with you out of the Amplified, praise the Lord, out of 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 14. For the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us, because we are the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. And he, Jesus, died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the flesh and the new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation of the restoration to favor. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal as it were through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable in right relationship with him by his goodness, not by anything we did, but by his goodness. And when I was reading this about when Christ became sin, who knew no sin, and we saw that video when he took upon himself our sin, our sins, our sicknesses, our diseases. For the first time ever, Jesus was forsaken and separated from the Father. The first time, he was always with the Father, because it says in John 1:12, in the beginning was the Word, in John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And because sin separates us from God, Jesus had to be separated from the Father. And he turned his face. He turned away from him, and that's when it became so dark. And then he was separated from him for 3 days and 3 nights for us, so that we could be reconciled to the Father. This was so that the Father's plan of salvation could be accomplished. And he did that for us. He separated himself from the Father for us. For us, for each one of us, he sacrificed, stood in the gap. He stretched between heaven and earth for us. For us, our sacrificial lamb paid the price, causing us to be children of God, brothers and sisters, that we are not facing the penalty for sin, because we have been made righteous and in right standing with the Father. Thank you so much. Hallelujah, Enoch. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Anyway, so I spoke about the all-sufficient Jesus. Jesus, we are talking about the real Jesus. You know, he's real. I mean, how real is that? I sit almost all night preparing something. And you know, the throne room, you know, in the showers, you know, glad this waters. I'm in the shower and he's downloading. He's like, I come out of the shower. What's with that? You changed the whole message. This is not right, Lord. It's like, hey, it's my day. Do it. Okay. So we're talking about the real Jesus. And the real Jesus is so outside the norm. He's so outside our traditions. You know, he's so outside of what we think. You know, we say, you know, this is how Jesus is, you know, this is how he is. You know, if you've seen the Jesus movie, how many of you have seen the Jesus movie? You've seen the Jesus movie? I mean, that's the saddest Jesus I've ever seen, you know? I mean, I'm like, dude, smile. You're the Son of God, smile. You know, seriously, you know, it's like, behold, you know, it's like, he's not it. The real Jesus is so different. So throughout this series, we are trying to figure out who this guy is. Who's this real Jesus? Because God the Father presented him to us. And, you know, we all talk about, you know, we got resurrection, we got life, you know. And sometimes we don't act it because we don't have the right image of who Jesus is. So this series, we are looking at who Jesus is, and everybody touched on certain subjects. So I was looking at all sufficient, that I thought, you know, all sufficient might be easy because I could include anything in it. It's like all y'all, like how they say in Texas, you know. But here's the thing. So Tina's studying about Jesus in the feast and all of that, you know. And then, you know, every night I have a full dose of what she's talking to me, you know. She's like, did you know? And she goes, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, oh. Some of the, like, most of the things go over my head. And I got to do it. Repeat it. What was that? What was that? And she's just like, he's a guy. I have to repeat it everything twice, you know. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. As she's explaining to me, I'm thinking, he's real, he's different, he is... Let me give you an example. We all celebrate Good Friday, right? I just had a thought, you can stone me later. I'm going to shake some things, pull the carpet, you know? But it's okay, we're just trying to figure out the real Jesus, right? Because when you have seen him, you won't be the same. We celebrate Good Friday, but did you know Jesus didn't really die on Friday? Yeah. It was Wednesday. It was Wednesday, yeah, yeah. Did you know he did not rise on Sunday? She's confused.
No, I'm not.
Okay. But he did not.
Very early on the first day of the week she came.
Well, technically, he rose Saturday evening.
Yes, I know. Very early on the first day of the week.
Yes, yes, yes. So here's the thing. What I'm trying to say is, we have to be Berean. When I say that, it means we have to study for ourselves to figure this out. Don't accept Jesus because Cheryl says so.
Praise the Lord.
Don't accept that he is real because so-and-so said so, or if you came to church and they said, this is it. Don't. I mean, you don't vote because somebody said, vote for this person, right? Right? You study. You figure out, what do they stand in? You know, the whole crowd says, yeah, this is the person. And he's like, I don't like that issue or that aspect, right? So we have to be studying and be Berean. Berean means we have to figure this out for ourselves. But when you seek him with all your heart, you will find him.
Yes.
Amen? So we were talking about, Tina and I were talking, I thought I'd give a small snippet about this. So do I just have 5 minutes? How do I go eternity? So anyway, let me give you a snippet, very quick snippet. But this means that you can go home and research for yourself. So it so happened that what we celebrate in the church world as Good Friday was actually Passover. Do you remember what happened on Passover?
Yes.
What happened? They were in Egypt, the death of the firstborn, the angel of death came in, and when God saw the blood, for those who do not know, you know, the Israelites, they were commanded, take a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, and stay inside.
Amen.
Stay inside. Don't go for a drive. We're going to go crash. Stay inside. So everybody stayed. It says, then the angel of death came. God stood in front and said, you see the blood? The angel of death passed away. I thought God was the angel of death. He's not. But the angel of death came, but it says Adonai stayed. So they saw the blood, the angel of death, and pastor was like, yes, sir, I'm going this way. Went over. But all the Egyptian firstborn died. So you see what Passover is, right? Wednesday night, this happened the year Jesus was crucified. Wednesday night, when Jesus was put on the cross, well, morning, you know, and in the afternoon, he died. He was put, the blood was shed. That was Passover, Nisan the 14th. If you look at the Jewish calendar, Nisan the 14th, that exact day was Passover. Do you know the angel of death passed over you and said, can't touch Cheryl, can't touch Thomas, can't touch Morgan, can't touch Sarah. New you two, yes.
Praise the Lord.
Can't touch. Why? They are under the blood. That was shed. So here's the thing. That's the festival of Passover. Those are not festivals. It's Passover. 7 days right after that is the festival of unleavened bread. What's leaven? Sin. So you make unleavened bread without sin. You know, they had to eat the matzah. My wife made matzah. I put some honey, some butter, some nuts, and I'm like, I love matzah. My kids, we're going to make a second batch today, I think. Yeah. Yeah. So they have the festival of unleavened bread. But the first Sunday, right after Shabbat, Saturday, the next day is what we would call in church world resurrection. Do you know what feast that is? First fruit. Actually, yeah. You and I are tracking, yeah. In the Jewish tradition, the priest would go, it'll be the barley festival. They will go right after sundown. They would go cut up the first sheaves, barley. And they would take it and wave it so the rest would be blessed. Did you know the significance that Jesus was the first fruit? In other words, he was the first to be resurrected. Do you remember, you know, the ladies came in, you know, and Martha, you know, she's looking into the tomb, and, you know, she's like, oh, they've taken it, you know. And Jesus comes and stands in front of her, right? And remember, he says, don't touch me. I have not ascended. You know what that means? I have not yet gone as a wave offering to the Father. That's Saturday evening. He rose up Saturday evening. Next day, Sunday morning, yeah, you can touch me, yeah. Because I have gone to the Father. So that wave offering, so that's why when Tanya came and said, hey, I said, happy first fruits, happy first fruits. You know what that means? Because he was the first among, the firstborn to rise, you and I will. You and I will. Hey, I'm telling you, he's real. Amen. He ain't getting any more real than this. But it so happened that the year he was crucified, Wednesday night to Thursday night, Thursday night to Friday night, Friday night to Saturday night, 3 days in the tomb. Have you ever figured out, we call it Good Friday, and Sunday is resurrection. It ain't 3 days and three nights. Yeah. I'm just saying, you can stone me later. I'm just saying, but here's the thing. What I'm trying to tell you is this. He is real.
Amen.
A lot of skeptics says that ain't matching up. It is. But say here, for example, this year, it was on a Friday. Passover was on a Friday. But the first Sunday, the Shabbat is done. The first Sunday would be today. Did you know for this year, we are right on Friday and today is first fruit.
Praise the Lord.
I just wonder if his second coming would be exactly like the first. If you look at the feasts, everything matches. If you see the menorah, the reason it's like that is everything matches. Whoa. I'm just giving you clues. You need to do your homework. But this was in the bathroom. This is what I got in the bathroom. I had prepared something else. I had a video to play. And this comes in. And I'm saying, Lord, you could have told me. I would not have sat down the whole night. Even if it's 5 minutes. You know how it is. So, what am I trying to say? So Jesus, seriously, I'm going to close now. Jesus in John 11, one of my favorite chapters. You know, he comes, Lazarus is in the tomb, and he comes and Martha is crying, weeping, mourning. He says to Martha, your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. And Martha says to him nonchalantly, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, girl, you got it wrong. I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, he will live. I'll tell you how significant this is. Mel, do you know what today is? What was that? It's Easter. Do you remember God gave a promise to Sally on the 21st of January that in 3 months he's going to speak? Today is exactly to the date, 3 months. The notes that she has, he's got a treasure for you and Sally. Just thought I'd remind you. Why would God remind me then? You know, he's hounding me. Make sure you tell it. Make sure you tell it. Amen. You know what I'm trying to say? He's real. He speaks. Yes. Amen. And he changes sermons. So somebody here has to hear. I just get to be the recipient and give. Amen? Amen. He's a promise keeper. And he's still in the business of rescuing people. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you don't need rescuing. Ask my wife how many times I need rescuing and how many times she has to come in. I just need you to hold me. Okay, come on over. Jesus is still in the same business of rescuing people. So you would go and rescue. I have a small video. I saw this years and years back. A beautiful video. It's a skit. Some of you must have seen this. And it's about how Jesus, right from the beginning, he created all things for us to enjoy. We had fellowship. And then comes all those things, you know, we don't know what it is for your life or what's troubling you, what's taken you, put a barrier between you, what has snatched you away, you know, taken your attention off Jesus. And all of a sudden, we are seeing so many things in between us and the Lord. But you know what? Even today, he pulls and pulls and pulls and pulls. And when you are unable, he comes in between and rescues. I love this kid. I hope you enjoyed. Hit it. No breakdance here.
Thank you.
makes me cry even today. Here's the news. He's coming back. And he's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for you and me. Yes, he is coming back. Here's what you need to do. He's the lover of your soul. Nobody in this world can give you the love that he can give. And he set himself between you and everything that the world can put over. And he defeated them all. Amen? Amen? Amen. He is a real man. He's the real Jesus. Amen?
Amen. Praise God. Okay. This week the Lord showed me, I wasn't even specifically asking, I spoke about Jesus the servant, and I think I was praying about something else, and all of a sudden I had this picture that just took me to this whole place, this whole vision, and Jesus showing me, this is who I am. I am your servant. And so I want to share that with you. So just journey with me as we explore Jesus the servant. So just close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Imagine that you receive an invitation for a special banquet meal. And you open it and it says, come. Taste and see. Come and eat with me. So you go to this restaurant that's exactly what you love. It's beautiful. It's unique. It's for you. And as you walk up to the door, people greet you and they're so excited to see you. And they usher you in, and there's a table prepared just for you, and you sit down, and the waiter comes bouncing over with energy and smiles, and he hugs you, and he says, welcome. This table is for you. Sit. Let me give you the menu. And he hands you the menu, and you open it up. And it's actually quite heavy. It's quite thick. There's a lot on the menu. And the waiter says, you can have any of this. You can have all of this. This is all you can eat here. All you can eat buffet. And actually, you don't ever have to leave. And everything that you see written here on this menu, we have it. We have it in the kitchen. It's been prepared for you. So he smiles and he puts his arm around you and he says, what would you like? What would you like for me to bring to you? And you realize the waiter is Jesus. And you see behind a door peeking out the owner of the restaurant, and he's so excited. He's got a big smile on his face. And he comes over and says, is everything okay? Are you enjoying your meal? And you say, well, I'm just kind of overwhelmed by what's on the menu and what should I order? Oh, you can have it all. Did you know that your waiter he's my son? So the owner of the restaurant is Father God, and he's so excited that you're there. And he says, oh, we have an awesome team in the kitchen. They've prepared all of this, and they bring it to you. They're part of the wait staff. They've made it possible, and they bring it to your table. So you look again at the menu, and you see the different categories, appetizers. What do I want? forgiveness of sins, redemption, guidance and direction. Wow, those are good starters. Those are good appetizers. The main course, peace. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Strength, protection from Psalm 91. Prosperity, healing. Isaiah 53, 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brings us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Wow, there's still more main courses. The power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1. Hope. And many others. Desserts. Oh, my favorite. Desserts. Authority. Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind. So much better than chocolate. And many other desserts. So you sit there and you pick up, you say to the waiter, yes, Jesus, thank you. I want that. I want that one too. And I'll have this. And since it's all you can eat, I'll have hope. I'll take that peace. I'll take that healing. And he says, okay. I already did it. It's all available to you. It's all available. Let me go tell the kitchen staff and they'll bring it out. And that's the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He serves us. He serves us. God has prepared a table before me, before you, in the presence of your enemies, and he anoints our heads with oil. Our cups overflow. But we have to get the invitation, and we have to go. And so any of the promises that we have on the menu, the Word of God, they're yes and amen. But we have to show up to the restaurant. We just have to show up at the banquet table. And when Jesus, our waiter, says, what is it that you want me to do for you? It's our faith that receives it. And we order freely. And we say, yes, I believe what it says in your word. I want that peace. I want that healing. I want your salvation power. I want that authority. I want your strength. And he says, yes. It's done. It's yours. Enjoy. Eat and enjoy. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. So this resurrection day, may Jesus reveal himself to us, his resurrection power, as the merciful one, as the healer, as all the other ones that we talked about, the all-sufficient, right? And as our servant, because he served us when he died on the cross and rose again. And he says, what is it that you want? And it's only our faith that can receive all that's written in the Word of God. So this resurrection day and this new season, find out what's on the menu for you. There's a lot. It's a big menu. And eat and enjoy. Amen. Bless you.
Praise the Lord. He's all that and more.
Amen. Amen.
And because we have him, because he lives, we can live. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, today there might be a lot of naysayers. There are people that think the Bible is a myth. They think it's stories. They think it's contradictory. They think it's this, it's that, and the other thing. And there's a lot of disbelief and unbelief around. But today we're celebrating with believers who say, Jesus is the yes and amen in my life. Yes. Jesus is the real deal in my life. Because nobody can take my testimony away from me. Amen. And I know what Jesus did for me. Yes. So like all of the characters in the Bible that Jesus redeemed and brought back into his fold and touched their lives and transformed, they experienced transformation, we can experience the same kind of transformation. But even in Jesus' day, there were a lot of people who didn't believe. And he felt sorrow for them. The Bible says he cried over Jerusalem because they missed their window of opportunity to accept their Messiah. Some people are still looking for their Messiah today. And yet he came all those years ago and he's coming back again. But in Jesus' day, one of the things, he talked about resurrection and people confronted him about it. There were people in Jesus' day who didn't believe in resurrection. The Bible records, I think it's in the book of Luke, it's a 20th chapter, that Jesus was approached by some Sadducees. I guess they were sad. You see, they were sad. They didn't believe in the resurrection. It says they approached by some, verse 27, religious leaders who say there's no resurrection from the dead, and they posed this question to him. So they're trying to trick him. They're trying to trap him. They said, Moses gave us a law that if a man dies leaving a wife but no children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will carry on the brother's name. Well, suppose there were seven brothers. The oldest one married and then died without children. So the second brother married the widow, but he also died. Then the third brother married her. And this continued with all seven of them who died without children. Finally, the woman also died. So tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? For all seven were married to her. It's just like stump the Jesus stars, you know? Verse 34 says, Jesus replied, marriage is for people here on earth, but in the age to come, those worthy of being raised from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they will never die again. In this respect, they will be like the angels. They are the children of God and children of the resurrection. But now as to whether the dead will be raised, even Moses proved this when he wrote about the burning bush. Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, he referred to the Lord as the God of Abraham, Isaac, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So is he the God of the living, not the dead? For they are all alive to him. Well said, teacher, remarked some of the teachers of religious law who were standing there. And then no one dared ask him any more questions. I like Jesus because he's got the answers. Amen. Praise the Lord. So whether people believe or don't believe, it's sad that they don't believe because they've missed their window of opportunity, like these men and women of that time who didn't believe. They missed their window of opportunity. But to all who believe, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Probably one of my favorite scriptures about the resurrection is the one from John chapter 11, verse 24. It's the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and Jesus is coming to the family and comforting, and he's so sorrowful. This friend, his best friend, had died. And you know the story. He was delayed in coming, and he purposely delayed. We don't understand all of that, you know, and Martha didn't understand it, and Mary didn't understand it. They just said, Jesus, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died, because we know that you would have healed him. But nonetheless, we're thankful that you're here, and we're glad for that and all of that. But Jesus says to Martha, you know, your brother will live. And she said, yes, of course, in the resurrection he will live. So she understood his teaching. Martha said to him, I know, verse 24 of John 11, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection, and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he poses the question, do you believe this? So my question is to you this morning, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Because if you do, for you, he's the resurrection and the life. What hope and joy that gives us, because he is. He's not going to be. He is now the resurrection and the life. So maybe there's something in your life today that needs some resurrection power and life. We're going to make an opportunity to pray for you now. If you came to the service today and you are needing prayer, wanting prayer, desiring prayer, this is your opportunity to receive from Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. He's not going to be the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. So whatever needs to be raised from the dead in your life, or maybe something needs to be put to death in your life, but whatever your case is, Jesus is not only the need meter, he's the one who can give you exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to that power of his that works in you. That power really is resurrection power. So when you come for prayer, Jesus wants to release his resurrection power in that area that you have had or have a need or a desire or a want or a question or anything like that. So this is your opportunity. I'm going to close this message with prayer, and then we're going to cut the recording and all of that stuff for the podcast, and then come and just be prayed for. So Father, we just thank you that this is a celebration of the life of Jesus. And as much as we talked about the real Jesus of the Gospels, I'm sure that we didn't hit every point. I'm positive we didn't hit every point, because there's so much more. And Jesus, we just want to know you in the power of your resurrection. We just want to know you in that way, where everything is life and everything is light and everything is blessing and everything is the goodness and the mercy and the greatness of God your Father, of you, and of the Holy Spirit you sent to live inside of us. So we thank you for that. We thank you for what limited revelation we've already received of you, Jesus, but we long to know you better and know you more. We long to know the real Jesus of the Gospels. So Lord, inspire us every day, and from your word and from your spirit and from counsel with one another, help us to know you, the real Jesus of the Gospels. And for it, we thank you and give you glory, honor, and praise. In your precious name, Jesus, we come to your Father, to the throne of grace, to find grace to help in time of need, and blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.